Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Go. I blew it. Well, cat's out of the bag now. Patrick can't hear sound effects. Thought Tony was telling him it was time to talk. And whoopsies, Patrick blew it. That's okay. Hello again, fellow basement dwellers. Welcome into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And that time I did not screw it up. I got a little excited. Here's the thing, folks. So when we David Ungar is currently riding roller coasters. So he's not with us today, which means that we are back to our old school recording studio of the Microsoft Teams. It means that our good friend PC Tunney is in charge of our sounds. And I love that Tunney is in charge of our sounds. It means that we get to do this thing sort of real time, doesn't have to be edited in. You'll note there's not quite as much edited in sounds when we are out of the new studio, which I'm fine with because I love how we sound on the new studio. Personally, I think the overall quality has been great. We're just not there yet with the rest of us in paying for subscriptions that we don't necessarily want or need. We'll get there. But with Dave being away, hanging out with the mouse and Six Flags and all that stuff that he does around the holiday season, apparently riding a wooden roller coaster, named Ghost Rider, as he texted me while we were doing this. Good on him. That then means that our good friend, the executive vice president in charge of Wednesday programming and talent relations, PC Tunney, he's our beloved producer, sound mixer, engineer, and we get the sound bites back. Unfortunately, we can't always hear the sound bites. And the introduction to our show, our opening tune, while delightful, is quite long. And so you're trying to be patient. You know, we're thinking we're going to get the applause in. I'm going to thank everybody for applauding. Tony makes a little hand move, and I'm like, oh, is it time? Is it me? And I turned into the Night at the Roxbury guy. Like, is it you? Is it me?
That's on me. Yeah, I started wording, mouthing words and shit. So, yeah, my bad.
And I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer. I'm a villain. Villains aren't as smart as they think they are. But the result is what you just heard. As it is,
should we shame ourselves?
We can't shame ourselves. I will be
shame.
Able to hear it, though.
It's shaming. We're being shamed.
Shame. What's shame the point? Right
we're being shamed.
Yeah. Shame.
You know what else is a shame?
That's enough. It's a good shaming. Yeah. It's done.
What is also a shame is that we haven't been able to shame our third member of the team today. That's right, Ray Cash, two shows in a row.
Do you want him to be booed?
The Reverend. Well, I mean, we can boo him.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you boo him?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're being booed, Ray. Right now.
Yeah, boo.
Like, still.
Not the same feeling.
They've had enough.
It's the epitome. If a tree falls in an empty forest, does it make a sound? It makes a sound to one man in this podcasting studio. We do have the Reverend Raymond S. Cashington, Esquire, the 9,376,244th here with us today. Again, back on the show. We missed him so much that we're immediately going to start talking about something that doesn't involve him, because that's how we roll on this show.
Yes.
I don't know that Ray would have watched. Ray, you wouldn't have watched The Witcher had you been on schedule with this show, would you?
Not a goddamn chance.
It's because you're too busy watching Flash Gordon. Folks, I'm gonna put it out there today. It is 2 o'clock here on the East Coast. This show must end with a reasonable amount of time for me to mentally prepare myself to watch the Chicago Bears. I need a lot, which is why we have...
Like, this show can be done in an hour. You can have a whole hour and a half to prepare.
I know. I might. I got to eat some cookies and my feelings. Like, we've got a lot going on. I had a busy...
I can tell you, in my fridge, in my freezer right now, I have Ben and Jerry's The Tonight Dough.
Oh, very fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
tweet pictures later.
Nice. My family went to a friend of ours. Their family held a holiday party on Friday where it was a cookie exchange. So everybody bakes cookies, and then you do a little rotation around this table and you gather cookies that other people bug. So I have this big plastic tub that my diabetic ass is staring at with all these cookies, and they're various flavors. Some of them are delicious. Some of them are not for me. And I'm just, I don't feel good about the game today. And so I'm going to sit there with a Kentucky bourbon barrel ale and some cookies. And that just might be how it goes.
Does Ray have any savory treats laying around ready to go?
I got a savory treat for you.
Whoop. Ray's not paying attention to us right now.
He is not paying. He's not listening. He does not know that we are talking to him.
I'm watching the trailer park. Sorry. What were you saying?
Did you have any savory treats sitting around waiting to indulge in later?
No, not today. For the holidays, I'm very much you know what I've been on recently, actually? You got it's so random.
No.
That's whack, sir. It's very whack. Okay?
Why?
I'm high class. I'd be doing cocaine, sir. I'm high class. Shackalicious gummies.
Okay.
So random. I saw them at the store, and I was like, there's no way. They are amazing. Shout out to Shaq.
Excellent. Good on Shaq.
Are they just regular candy?
They're gummies, but they're bigger. And so one bag is different flavors of his head.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
One
is a regular
one
candy. He missed the question. Yeah. You were not answering the question I asked, but that's fine.
They weren't magic gummies, is what he was asking, Craig.
Oh, no, I'm not getting high.
That's
no,
what I regular, thought. Okay. That's what I was asking. Yeah, that's my question. I'm sorry.
I live in Texas. So
I love how excited you are to explain to us the whole, Shaq gummy universe, though.
But for real, like, in the other bag, it's like the logos of his team. So, like, you get a Shamrock, or you get a Sun.
Is there a pepperoni slice? Is there a pepperoni pizza flavor? Or maybe a garlic butter flavored gummy?
Not the gummy, but you can go down the street to Papa John's and get that.
Yes, you can. All right, so we do. It's a very consequential show this week. One of the biggest entertainment news stories of the year broke this week, and of course we have to talk about Netflix apparently winning the Warner Brothers Discovery bidding war. We're going to get into all of that later in the show. It's re-release season apparently across the studios. Is you name it, something's getting re-released, and we have a much more robust trailer park this week as compared to last week. But we can't do any of that until we get to PC Tunney's favorite television show on the aforementioned Netflix, episode 6. That's right, not 8. Episode 6 of season 4 of The Witcher. Tunney was hoping that this would be it when I typed episode 8.
Thought maybe I blacked out for a couple coverages.
Sadly, not so. This episode, Twilight of the Wolf, is the big battle between Yennefer and her cadre of witches versus Vilgefortz and his attempt to kill Yennefer and those that have stood up against him in basically this big apocalyptic battle. 45 minutes of this 1-hour-ish long episode is that. And then, speaking of cocaine, Cirilla tried cocaine. and we're not even joking a little bit, Ray. Like, straight up, group of the rats snort coke, and Cirilla tries for the first time after just obliterating a bunch of people trying to get a kid that they were kidnapping. My biggest problem with the episode is the way that they just tacked that on to the episode. Like, it wasn't interspersed throughout the battle or anything really at all. It's just, we go through, we have this big monumental battle where significant characters, day one characters, Istrid, who is a day one episode, season one character from The Witcher, sacrifices himself to take away Vilgefortz's control over all of these portals that the witches have been using. Vilgefortz, you know, is defeated ultimately at the end of this battle, but we see so many characters, like all these witches that she's been gathering, many of them die, give up their lives. Fringilla saving the day, Philippa saving the day in a different way in their sort of their big moment of terror and defeat. And all of that battling so that we can then see Yennefer storming the castle, where she is quickly going to discover that the Cirilla in the castle is not her daughter, who she called her daughter straight up, which was great. But the just an action-packed episode, and it was supposed to be a climax to all the building up that Yennefer has been doing, gathering all these remaining witches. So yeah, I'm with you, Tunney. Like, this was a climax, and it was really just this big action piece. And then we threw in a little friction with Cirilla and her girlfriend that, again, is going to pay off later, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even really see Geralt and the crew at all, do we?
Nope. He's mentioned once by Vesemir before he dies.
It's funny, like, I'm sorry, but more so than any other time yesterday, watching this, I was just doing other things. And honestly, it got to the end of the episode, and I was like 4 minutes into the next episode, and I was like, how much time is left? I'm like, oh shit, I just watched the first 4 minutes of the next episode.
Whoopsies.
But yeah, you know what? Honestly, I give them kudos. I thought, like, the whole battle was pretty darn good. You know, everybody kind
of
got to have their own little moment. I love the older witch and her spear, and, you know, like how it starts out
through the dude's head.
Yeah. And then they need to protect her, and then she gets it back and does the whole thing where, yeah, through the guy's head, but that wasn't it. Then it rotates itself and explodes the guy's head, ends up. So there was some fun stuff. Yeah. The whole thing with taking care of Vilgefortz at the end, especially the end battle where, you know, they end up deciding that, Yennefer's they're gonna keep him alive, and before she ends up going to find that, well, the Cirilla she's looking for is not the Cirilla that she's gonna find.
That's true, and I'm willing to bet next week will be a Witcher centric. I think that'll be much more of a Geralt Cirilla centric episode.
I can tell you, we start out with the crew.
Excellent, with Geralt and the crew.
Yeah. But I can, but I, gotcha. But the whole scene where Ciri goes full, like, you know, trained by Witcher was awesome.
Yes. And more of that. I don't mean to scare you, but the next Witcher video game is coming out.
I don't.
And Cirilla, but Cyrilla is going to be the main character.
Okay.
Like she's going to be the one. So, you know, I don't think we're going to get a spinoff, but it'd be a Cyrilla centric spinoff if they did.
I can tell you, if you want to have, since DP is never, like, you know, around on Sundays, we do have a guy named Satchel McFlippins, who is as versed in the nerddom as probably you and Dave, more so than I am, and is a super video game guy. So if we ever a week right after that game comes out, if we need a guy, maybe I'll see if we can get him in and get a video game review as well.
I mean, I've heard a lot of Satchel McFlippins. I've never met Satchel McFlippins.
He's the supreme overlord of CompuGlobal Hyper Mega Nate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of that means, but I'm on board.
Someday.
Yeah, other than that, and then like I said, like Cyrilla getting high after kind of fully being embraced by the rest of the rats, and then that leading to friction between her and her love interest, who again is going to die a horrible, horrible death. It's going to happen. She is my pick for the Deadpool. Like, I don't think it's just going to be a simple, like, tragic stabbing. Like, it's going to be brutal and hurtful when it happens. Probably killed by that old guy that is currently chasing them down. Because we did get another glimpse of him stealing a doll from a child, just reminding you all that he is a dick. And he is coming to kill Cyrilla. And I think he's going to kill Cyrilla's girlfriend instead, which will then catapult ourselves into season 5.
Yay.
And there was much rejoicing from me and nobody else. I'm still enjoying this season. I'm sorry that you're not. I really am. I am thoroughly empathetic.
It was a good battle. There was a good battle episode. I'll give you that.
Right. So we'll see what happens next. You know what sucks is because there was no Geralt in the gang.
More of this?
We have there's no Morpheus title this week.
No. No, there isn't. How about Morpheus?
No, it's Morpheus-less, something like that. Where's Morpheus?
Donde está Morpheus?
There you go. Title achieved.
Okay, then I can put a upside down question mark. Ooh, in front of it. Yeah.
Cuando?
Yeah.
Preguntas.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Sure.
There are questions for all of us.
Yes.
But what there is not a question of is that we are going to move forward into a much more exciting trailer park, at least for me, and. Because again, Tani is here instead of Dave. This means that Ray Cash can pick a number between 1 and 5.
Seven.
And that's what we get.
7, actually.
1 and 7.
Yeah.
There are seven options, Ray.
Yeah. Because actually, like, holiday banjos are in play now. We're after Thanksgiving and between Crisp and New Year's. So if you pick the right one, you might get holiday banjos. I'm going to.
Whoa.
Yeah. You go ahead.
Just give me a holiday banjo then. Just do that.
Is that what
whichever
you want?
One. Why not? Welcome, first time, right?
Welcome to the season.
Yeah, play that beautiful banjo. Okay, so clearly Tuddy is enjoying the holiday banjo, but I just had a thought in the middle of Lava's is playing. I'm just going to talk over it a little bit. We need to find out if we can find a banjo version of Hey Yeah, just so that it can play for our good friend Ray Bodesk Ashington Esquire. Hey Yeah on the banjo. It's got to exist. Somebody's done it.
Andre might have himself. If you look hard
he
enough.
Is a talented musician. I could see him pulling that out. So it wouldn't surprise me. But welcome into the trailer park. We seem to be on a biopic documentary kick as of late. We've talked about athletes. Last week, we talked about Stuart Scott. We got another Netflix documentary coming out about John Elway and his life and career with the Denver Broncos. And before we get into talking about John Elway and our thoughts about him in this documentary, can I just confess that every time I see John Elway's name, I think of the episode of South Park where Cartman is trying to figure out who his father is. And in that episode, it's discovered that Cartman's father is really his mother. That's not the episode I'm referring to. There is a flashback episode where they reference that. And at the end, because John Elway and the rest of the 1987 Denver Broncos were all possible fathers of Eric Cartman, in Cartman's Lie of a Reimagining, he says that John Elway is his father, and he starts singing a song called "My Father Is John Elway." My father is John Elway. Every time I see John Elway's name, all I do is think of "My Father Is John Elway." And so I know that there was a lot about the great hope of the Denver Broncos and pulling them out of obscurity and him getting blamed for all their failures once he came and being called a bust and being ruined and awful. And honestly, it's fascinating because he won how many Super Bowls with the Broncos? Two at the end of his career?
Back to back.
But it took him like 10, 12 years, 15 years. It took a while. But I remember those teams. Those were really great teams. I remember their running game being the reason why they were really good, though.
Well, the second year, yeah. The first year was John. That second year, TD had a year.
It's fair. But yeah, so we're going to get a documentary about this NFL career. Thoughts on John Elway and the Elway documentary. Rick Hash.
First off here, as I'd like to remind everybody, as the youngest dude on the panel, I'm old enough to remember when John Elway was that dude. I'm also old enough to remember that. So you talk about Peyton Manning when he was coming into the league. You talk about Andrew Luck, guys that were like heralded as the next big sure thing, right? That started with John Elway. When he came in the league, like, that's the surest of the sure things. That's the reason why he ended up in Denver, because he wasn't drafted there, if you remember. And so for him to go to a place, like you said, that was relatively obscure, and we remember him, at least at a certain point, as the documentary kind of points out, almost in a way, remember a lot of guys like, not Phil Simms, Jim Kelly, as a guy that could get there but couldn't win, couldn't get the big one. And then he won two. But he went to five. 3 and 4 years. It's to something, right? But there's a lot of guys in the league, quarterback guys in general, but speaking particularly on quarterbacks, that aren't interesting enough to have a documentary of this level. John Elway as a dude is just a very interesting guy. His story is very interesting. Ending up to the team he ended up on is very interesting. Becoming the guy who runs that team is very interesting. So that's definitely a documentary worth telling, worth seeing. I'm interested in it. I'll watch it. I love sports documentaries. Netflix's sports documentaries in particular are usually really, really good. So yeah, I'm here for it.
So we don't forget, Wednesday is the premiere of the Stuart Scott documentary, by the way. So make sure everybody's checking that out. Yeah, John Elway, honestly, right now, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, John Elway. I have my fifth greatest quarterback of all time. Ahead of Rodgers, Favre, Breeze, Young,
Marino.
And then it's like a toss up after those nine. Marino, Kurt Warner, etc. But Elway, he was going to go play for the Yankees and play outfield for George Steinbrenner. He showed up. He was in uniform. He played right field. He was all conference or second team all conference at Stanford in a really good, like, high level college. You know, he could have been a professional baseball player. Like, he could hit for power. He had a really good arm. He was very agile. Like early in his career, like even into later in his career, we could barely kind of move and shit like that when he was hurt. But to go out the way he did, winning two, like he was, like you said, he was a very decent part of it. The first one and the second one, they pretty much had a great defense. But, you know, Peyton Manning ended up doing the same thing. So John Elway, just a winner. I don't know a lot about his ownership and everything else and stories you hear here and there. But as far as a documentary on his career, and, you know, college to pro, here for it.
Also, he has one of the five most memorable plays of all time. That helicopter run for the touchdown. Everybody has seen it.
Yeah, it's like Montana to Clark. Like, it's the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I hear you. It's interesting. It's funny. You brought up Dan Marino, and I just wonder how we look at Dan Marino if he wins two more Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, not more. Yeah, just talent-wise, he may be the greatest.
He won one.
No, he didn't.
He won one. No, he never won one. He went to one. He never won a Super Bowl.
Earl Morrell won.
You're right.
Aaron Rodgers is the most talented thrower of football.
Marino is.
When I was a kid playing street football, we used to have this game where we get pissed off at somebody, we would just yell at him, Dan Marino, and throw it as hard as we can. Dan Marino, knock him over,
and then yell at him because they ran the wrong route.
Right, exactly. Well, they shouldn't have run the wrong route. If they'd put on isotoners, they may have caught the ball too, but they didn't. Anyway, the laces were in. All right, let's move in. So finally. I keep saying this. January is spooky season. January is when we start to get those horror flicks that come out because it's January and there's really not much else to do. A24 is really good at this, and Anne Hathaway has gotten herself into the A24 game. As we got our first look at the trailer for the movie Mother Mary, where Anne Hathaway plays a pop star, going to get a costume designed by someone who is clearly either an old flame or an old friend that she has long forgotten. And of course, it's not an A24 film without some creepy shit. And there be some creepy shit. I love it. Looks like maybe there's some witchcraft involved. We got some chanting. We got some blaming. We got some relationship trauma. And I'm probably here for it. I admit it. Like, one, I think Anne Hathaway is a terrific actress, even though she is a more than a little pretentious as a person. Does not mean that she is not an amazing actress. And I'm ready to see her in a role that I think is one that folks don't expect from her. You know, she's gonna be riding a wave anyway with The Devil Wears Prada 2. But to take on, you know, jump in and do some horror, and I think... Can I just say that Demi Moore probably makes a big difference on why we're seeing an actress like Anne Hathaway do a horror flick? Because you see someone like Demi Moore get nominated for an Oscar for The Substance, and it just gives some credibility to some actors and actresses in that genre of film. Anytime you see somebody step out of what we expect to see them, it makes it look like something that could be an opportunity for other actors. There's a lot of great atmosphere in this film. It's very well lit. It's very dark. And we don't really know everything that's going on, but we know something sinister is there and about and afoot. We'll go to Ray first on this one. A24 horror, always a way to go. Did you ever see Weapons, by the way?
Oh, I saw it in theater in 4DX. Yes.
Dude, that movie's fucking rocked.
It's
anyway.
Amazing.
Now, that is not to be confused with Mother Mary. What did you think of Mother Mary?
I'm confused as fuck.
That's
because
the point.
And the movie wants you to be confused because it literally says it's not a horror. It's not a whatever. It's so what?
It's very sinister. I'll say that.
Very. I'm here for Anne Hathaway. Step out of comfort zone. Anytime you watch a movie with a lot of black and you see some red, you know some foul things are afoot. I am here for Michaela Cole. Most of you probably don't know her. She's one of those black actresses that made her name and a lot of urban things finally getting her chance to make the big move. But you guys would know her. She was the other Midnight Angel from Black Panther 2. Big that she's been in. But like, she's been grinding for a long time. A fantastic actress. I'm here for her getting her big break. In like a major studio movie, and A24 don't miss. I don't know if I'm gonna see the theaters, but I'll damn sure watch the movie.
Mr. Tony, thoughts on the trailer and the movie you're not going to see?
His favorite genre.
It says it's not a horror film. It's not. It's a thriller. It's a suspense, right? It looks good.
It could be.
Is that
they're lying?
Is that an AI bot? The one person, the thing that's helping, she looks like an AI, more of maybe an AI created human that helps.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I thought she was just like 2,000 years old.
Oh, okay.
Manifested
very shadow, very left in the shadows to wonder. You know, it seems like A24 has become the new like cool thing for the popular kids to do, right? Like, Kaylee Spaney, Sophie Wilde, Kristen Dunst, Pedro Pascal, Harrison Dixon, Dakota Johnson. Florence Pugh. Did you know Florence Pugh did A24, Patrick? Florence Pugh?
No, yeah, really?
Anya Taylor-Joy, Jenna Ortega.
One Dwayne Johnson.
There's a Dwayne Johnson. Adam Sandler's got a project, or Adam Sandler did a project with them.
And Colonia.
Chris Rock is an upcoming film that he's directing with Daniel Kaluuya, Anna Kendrick, and Adam Driver. So, like, just a lot of people doing A24 stuff.
I would put A24 akin, as bad as this sounds. Actually, not bad. It's the Miramax of its time right now. The sort of the art housey, or at least that's how they see themselves. Now, you know, please ignore the Weinsteins, but the early days of Miramax, where they were kind of taking risks on films that wouldn't get played or produced and put out by big studios. That's what I see a lot of out of A24. So I love it. I'm here for it. And because of that, we get Florence Pugh in Midsommar, for example. But a film not produced by A24, but is a sequel trailer for a film that is a fucking great time. If you've never seen it, it's a lot of fun to go check out. And that is the movie Ready or Not. We got our first look at a trailer for the sequel Ready or Not 2. And so for the uninitiated, Ready or Not tells the story of a young woman who is engaged to be married. As a bride, she is brought to her fiancé's affluent family's home, where they take part in a tradition where they draw a game. And it's a children's game, a classic children's game, and they're playing hide and seek. The twist is that the family is a part of a centuries-old pact deal with the devil that occasionally forces them to sacrifice someone marrying into the family through the ritual of a child's game, in this case, hide and seek. If you have not seen Ready or Not, the ending of this movie is so fucking hilarious and bonkers and awesome. Ray, I actually think you would enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, I really do.
The sequel just takes it up a notch and pulls you into an expanded universe where we follow Samara Weaving from the first one, who, because of her success in the original film, is now having to face higher stakes in the sequel, and this involving her sister. Some of the folks that are in this movie, Sarah Michelle Gellar, by the way, Sarah Michelle Gellar back on the back into like some significant acting, very exciting to me.
There's a reason for that, by the way, and I'll talk about that when it's my turn. I'm sorry.
Sure. But I'm happy to see her. Elijah Wood being creepy, always good. Elijah Wood is really good, by the way, at being creepy. He see the movie Sin City, if you need anything from that. But if this movie is even an inkling as fun as the first one, and I wouldn't call it a horror flick so much as it's like a gory action movie. It's a good time, and I strongly suggest you guys check out the original. I'm all for the sequel because it's going to be just as crazy and fun, I think, as the OG. Tony, you can go first this time.
I didn't watch the first one. I remember the trailer for the first one and the premise. This looks just as good as the other one. It's just something I never watched. I probably won't make time to watch it, but I'm glad you're excited. I can see your nipples dancing. Ray is probably a better candidate to get to watch this, like you said.
I'm trying to get Ray to watch the first one so that he can then watch the second one. Because it's a good time.
It would just be like a double show, this and Flash Gordon for the 9 millionth time.
Thank you for acknowledging that I watch this on a regular basis. I appreciate you. I've never watched the first one. This seems like something I'm definitely interested in because I never saw, I don't remember the trailer for the first one. When I was watching, my takeaway from it was to tell you guys that before you gave me the backstory, this is the beauty of music in a trailer. Because if it didn't have that soundtrack in the trailer, you would think this was an ominous, terrifying movie. but the music and the soundtrack makes you feel, okay, there's death and there's a lot of craziness, but there is a little bit of humor involved. There's a bit of levity. And so, which I think makes it even more interesting to see how they play between the two. So I definitely want to watch the first one because I'm interested in this one.
So available to play on your TV via Fubo, Fox Now, or FX Now. So if you have FX, or DirecTV Stream, if you have DirecTV, you have to rent it from Apple TV or Prime Video.
I have FX because I have cable, YouTube TV, so maybe I can do that. The Sarah Michelle Gellar thing, it may not be fully as relevant, but Freddie Prinze has talked ad nauseum about how he wants to make a wrestling company, and that's why he started doing movies again, because he needed the extra capital. Correct. So this may be why she came back to acting. They both had agreed we're good at just being at home being parents.
I mean, she's also going back into the Buffy the Vampire Slayer sequel series too.
Is she going to be a regular, or is she going to be like a recurring?
I mean, well, she's definitely been cast.
Honey, you know, I really want to start a wrestling promotion, so I think I need to go and do some more projects. Well, I'm not just going to sit here and not do projects. Well, you go do projects. I'm just sit here and just watch the kids while you go out there and do a wrestling thing after that, too. I'm going back to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Door slam.
That's probably the conversation.
I do believe she's, I don't know if she's cast as an everyday cast member, but she is definitely minimally a recurring player in that. And then Elijah Wood just being weird is one of my favorite things. Like, Elijah Wood, just go be weird, man. Do weird movies.
Did you watch that
it.
Series on FX with the dog and everything, the invisible dog and everything with him?
No. I think I watched an episode or two, but yeah, I didn't see it through.
It was weird.
So, but the biggest trailer that dropped this week was the one most recent, at least in proximity to the recording of this show, as we got our release date and announcement of The Boys season 5, the final season. We got our first look at our good friend Billy Butcher trying to talk to the troops, who are, of course, as always, in a bad way, for one last go. Not a lot to pull from this trailer other than a lot of footage showing you who's back, who's ready to go, and kind of where they are. You know, we get to see, God, why am I forgetting all the names all of a sudden? Jack Quaid's character.
Okay, so Huey.
Huey's in prison, yeah. Mother's
Middle. Louie.
Yep.
Kamo.
They're all in a camp.
I can't remember Karen Fukuhara's character. Kimona's. Whatever it is, yeah.
Mother's Milk.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I am disappointed because I know this is a teaser. I just need a half a second or 2 seconds max of the Gen V kids.
I know.
And so I'm not saying they need to be a major part of the trailer. Give a fleeting, just them walking in the background or something, to make the connective tissue that you've made such a big deal of. Fail. Also, why in the blue, purple, pink, fuchsia, and taupe fuck would any of them boys want to fuck a butcher after what he did at the end of the last season?
Uno, it's a miracle.
Oh, by the way, when Stan Eker figures out what Butcher did, because he's going to be a big part in helping them fix all this.
Right.
That's going to be a fun thing with the daughter now. There's some stories afoot.
Donnie's just ready for some exploding assholes.
They've been known.
You looking for that Love Sausage cameo?
No. It's funny. I didn't watch the teaser. I'm not going to watch any trailers. I don't want to see any of what's going to happen. Like, I already know who they are, so I want to just see it all for the first time. I want to just watch the recap and then get into the first episode. But I think the biggest thing I wanted to talk about, and Ray, you kind of, I made a comment in the chat and then you agreed with me, is like, it's time. This needed to be the last season.
I agree. And as somebody who, like, I'm glad that the absence has been long enough, because I actually fondly was interested in watching it this time. Oh, because if you all remember, I was just worn out from season four, like, or by season four. I was depressed over the show. Like, it was so...
Art imitates life.
Too much. And I was in a place where I did not want that. And so I'm hopeful, because I do feel better about it. And I think the time away has really, really helped that. And the time away is going to help us when we take a quick commercial break and come back and talk about our favorite films that have been out for 20 years going back into theaters. So stick around for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ChairShot for all of your ChairShot swag needs, including the Bandwagon Nerds t-shirt. Only $19.99. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. Your giblets will thank you. Gentlemen, I actually started, I didn't know that this was going to be a conversation that we were going to have today, but David Ungar really sort of spurred it, because we were talking about, I can't remember which, I think it was me. I shared the announcement coming from Marvel that in 2026, Avengers Endgame is going to get a re-release in front of Avengers Doomsday. And Dave was like, oh, that's really interesting. I was like, ah, they're probably trying to see if they can leapfrog Avatar, which is funny because Disney has Avatar, Disney has Marvel, whatever. But Avatar is the, like, the top grossing film of all time. And then Avengers Endgame is number two. And Dave's like, oh, I don't know if they can really make it happen. And so we kind of go back and forth on whether or not that could be successful or not. And then all of a sudden, I'm just going through this week in nerd news. And it's like the Oprah moment where you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. It was, you get a re-release, you get a re-release, you get a re-release. And now re-releases are not that unusual, folks. But usually they're in the form of like a one-off weekend Fathom event sort of thing. For those of you who don't know, like I went and saw a re-release, the 40th anniversary re-release of the Jim Henson film, The Dark Crystal. There is a re-release of the Jim Henson film Labyrinth coming out in January. But those are like one-off, two-day showings, not really being put into the theaters for a full-on theatrical run. The films we're about to talk about are getting re-released across the country in theaters for presumably longer than a weekend. And kind of the big three of nerddom is being re-released into theaters over the next 2 years in 26 and 27. It was announced that there will be a re-release of the Lord of the Rings extended editions coming out to mark the 25th anniversary, which, my God, how old am I, that we are at the 25th anniversary of the release of Fellowship of the Ring, but Lord of the Rings doing that re-release. We got the announcement I talk about with Avengers Endgame, and then probably the big one for nerds everywhere, like you want to talk about retainer boys jizzing in their pants. It was announced this week that Star Wars will be doing a re-release of A New Hope in February of 2027, but not any of the tinkered with versions that we have seen Disney put out and Lucasfilm put out. No. This is going to be the original 1977 cut of Star Wars. And if I would be disingenuous if we didn't have a load of boys being like, oh my gosh, you guys, it's going to be so great. It's going to be awesome. I mean, I'm going to be there. Take my money, please. But re-releases everywhere. Here's my theory. This is my theory when it comes to Avengers. And tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think they're going to tag a Doomsday something onto that in-game re-release, whether it be a teaser or a featurette or something to bring people in to go to see Avengers Endgame in the theaters again. Like, why else would you do it right in front of Doomsday, especially since that movie is, you know, a good 10, 15 movies away from in between.
May I?
You may.
Well, most definitely there would be something Doomsday related, because we're a few months away from getting our first Doomsday teaser. It's about time to get something, because the movie is, for the most part, been filmed. We're in editing and VFX time. So yep. Something's coming out in the next, but by March, we'll have something. Maybe it's probably Super Bowl. We'll probably have our first thing. So that's that. But more pertinently, Avengers Endgame almost directly leads into Doomsday. Maybe not from a specific, these movies have happened, but the things, the ramifications of Endgame run directly into Doomsday. And the big thing that I don't think people are talking about or catching is we still got to find out how Robert Downey Jr., the face of Tony Stark, is Doom. He dies at Endgame. That's the big lynch point, right? Maybe there's a connection there that they're trying to show us that nobody has picked up on. Because there's a million conspiracy theories going floating around. But one of the biggest ones is when they did the time heist and everything got pruned, that universe is actually everything that happened after that never went away. And that Stark said, oh no, something's wrong here, and became Doom. There's a million different things. So that's the thing that makes the most sense to me, besides wanting to make more money. But the Avengers movies are anchor points in our timeline.
Right.
So it would make sense that you would remember the last anchor point before we get to the next one. That's just how my mind is making sense of it. The other two movies, they're anniversaries, big anniversaries at that. 25th and 50th.
I think that Star Wars re-release is going to make a shit ton of money.
Oh, for
I think
sure.
so too.
I think it is. I think it's shit ton of money.
For sure. Yeah, you're going to have people have parties and dress up for it too. You know, you're going to have big opening for it, I would imagine, at a bunch of different places. You know, midnight showings to start off with it. You can do a whole bunch of stuff with that. I mean, like Ray, I mean, you guys pretty much captured everything and the reasoning behind everything. Anniversaries, it's meaningful for what's going on. Like, what else does Marvel have coming out right now? Nothing, really, you know, so kind of sitting in a dead zone. But
yeah, we got a Spider-Man movie coming.
What's the next movie? Because Wonder Man comes out this month. What's the next movie?
Hold on. One of us can effort it. I know Spidey's coming. MCU timeline.
Grok, what's the next Marvel movie in theaters?
Fantastic. What's Grok's? No, that's already out, Grok. You have failed.
You have failed. That's already out.
Let's try this. Whoops. Google next. Time flies. Next up's Captain America, Brave New World. You are still incorrect. Oh my god.
Grok's killing it today.
That's Google did the same thing. Let's see.
Brand Homecoming. New Day. Spider-Man Brand New Day.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a July. Spider-Man film.
July, and then Doomsday is in December, and Secret Wars is the year after that.
Because we got Spidey and the Punisher going toe-to-toe in that one for a little bit before they ultimately begrudgingly fight together. It'll be a good time. And that'll be, I think, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think the Avengers Endgame thing, that the big tease that Disney's going to try to do with that, like I said, is going to have something related to Doomsday for people to go and see, to give them a reason to go. because it was even the same when they, because they were, this isn't the first time they've re-released Endgame. Endgame in its original theatrical run got a re-release a couple months later where they included some extra, not even really extra stuff, but it came with a new intro, intro from the Russo brothers. Go ahead.
Sorry, you just reminded me of the other point I wanted to make. Dave talking about he don't know the shit going to work. Endgame was number one. They re-released Avatar to put it back over Endgame. So you know it's going to work.
Yeah, that's the game. We got to do it. We got to keep flipping it. And then, you know, in the middle of James Cameron complaining about art and how it's not being made anymore, he'll then be like, but I want more money. So here's Avatar again. Enjoy. Like,
shout out to the Fire movie now. We'll see.
That dude is a fucking hypocrite, by the way. James Cameron is one of the most hypocritical dudes I've ever listened to talk. And I appreciate that he gave me Terminator and Terminator 2 and Aliens. But like, dude, don't get on a high horse about art and then sell your ass out to get the highest grossing movie of all time. Like, just fuck all the way off. Don't pretend you are who you are. Of these three, I will probably only go see one of them. Like, I don't, in order of likelihood, Star Wars number one, Endgame number two, Lord of the Rings number three. I own the extended edition. I don't need to see them in theaters, though those movies are absolutely made, Tony, just for, I know you don't like care for Lord of the Rings. Those movies are absolutely made for like the 4X experience, though, like just because they're so epic in scope and the way that they're, you know, filmed and cinematically done. But that's me. Star Wars, Avengers, Lord of the Rings. Do any of these get you out of the house to see again in a theater?
Star Wars.
Not me.
I'd love to see it for the first time in a theater.
The OG, I think it'll be very jarring for people who have only known it with CGI additions too. You know what I mean?
Agreed. It's, and on a and very, on a TV very screen at that. Aesthetic.
Right. Like, there's no, Jabba the Hutt isn't in the original 1977 at all, like, other than his name. I'm actually really interested to go back and watch it because I don't remember how different it is, because all we've ever had are the...
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
The later versions. So that'll be fascinating to go see. And I want to take the little O down. And I hope he wants to go too. So fun stuff. Tunny, any of these? I think I saw you shake your head. No.
No.
Maybe Star Wars?
No. Nope.
No.
Nope.
So
no.
There you go. Tony says no.
No.
No, no, no. All right, we're going to take our second commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the biggest story in entertainment today. That's right. We are going to talk about the Netflix Warner Brothers Discovery merger that seems to be on track to happen. So stick around. We'll be talking about that when we come back here on Bandwagon Nerds, part of the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Again, make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your chair shot swag needs. The holidays are coming up. You know what would be a great chair shot shirt? An ugly chair shot Christmas sweater. That would be a wonderful design. An ugly sweater design. Tony, you use AI. I'm sure you could whip up a design in no time. Anyway, just as to quote PC Tony, just put it out there. Just something to think about.
Is that what I say?
Something to think about. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. Just throwing it out there. Just an idea.
Do I say that?
You say just an idea quite a bit, but you know what else was just an idea? The idea of somebody buying Warner Brothers, as everybody and their brother was up on a bidding war for, and the news was released this week, and I am proud of myself because I didn't see how long the news had been out before, you know, as I copied the link and went to the chat and then saw that like all four of the nerds were like, we were all trying to like scoop each other. And so multiple of us have posted the news that came out that Netflix has apparently won the bidding war to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery and will start exclusive talks to finalize a deal. This is one where Paramount tried really, really hard multiple times. And even according to this article I have from Deadline, at the end, tried to counter Netflix and get the deal, and it just never happened. Allegedly, Netflix has offered around $28 a share for Warner Brothers Discovery, mostly in cash. So this is all pending approval, because it still has to get through like the FCC, all of the trade stuff. So it's a huge deal. And the things that are interesting to me, one, all of the intellectual properties that are under the Warner Brothers Discovery umbrella. For the purposes of this show, we have 900 other wrestling shows, so I am going to name it. AEW is, you know, part of the HBO Max umbrella, Warner Brothers Discovery. If you are a wrestling fan, I can't imagine that every wrestling podcast that we have will probably talk about this at some point. So we're going to leave that alone, because I think that's going to get covered to death elsewhere. But for us, that's Harry Potter. That's DC. That's Looney Tunes. Can we get Looney Tunes? What'd you say?
Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, Studio Ghibli. Cartoon Network is a part of that. Those big, there are some significant IPs, though, that will now fall under the Netflix window. Now, Netflix, the big concern that is coming from the industry is very much about what this means for theatrical releases under the Warner Brothers umbrella. And Netflix is like, we will continue to release Warner Brothers films under, you know, in theaters as a studio. However, the quote is very interesting in that they say Warner Brothers movies will remain in theaters, but the windows will evolve, quote, evolve to be much more consumer friendly.
Yep. Yep.
So here's why industry folks are concerned. One, I don't think anybody believes Netflix is going to do that for long. Two, Netflix's history with its own productions with releasing things theatrically are in limited theaters and for extremely short amounts of time before they immediately run into streaming. And so there is a lot of concern with the industry, with a lot of the unions, what this is going to actually mean for money that gets made out of a theatrical release versus money that goes directly to streaming and mostly benefits Netflix. And it was the reason why Scarlett Johansson was suing Disney, for example, because of lost money in a theatrical release. Like that is the big concern that's coming up there. And so let's start there with, I guess, just our thoughts on this deal and this merger. It's for allegedly, reportedly around $82.7 billion. That is a no small chunk of change. It is Netflix taking a huge step in being, you know, a kingpin of the entertainment industry. But I do worry personally what it means for theatrical releases if they follow the Netflix model. Ray, Tunney, either one of you, go ahead and take the first steps. Your thoughts on this purchase?
Well, money talks, bullshit walks. So Netflix had the biggest bag. But pardon me for using a wrestling-related story. But the reason I think they chose Netflix, besides, Paramount may have offered more per dollar, I don't know. but is the same reason WWE shops a show separately. Because I can make more if I sell my parts than if I sell everything in one whole. Because this, if they were to sell all of Warner Brothers Discovery in one fell swoop, let's say they could get $100 billion. I'm just making up numbers. But just for, they can get $80 billion just for the properties. Just for the movie properties and the movie rights. And then it could probably get $25 billion for the TV. Because they keep that as their own company that Zaslav is supposed to be the CEO of, Discovery Global. So I think the business of it makes sense in why they went to Netflix. Because Netflix gave them the most money for what they wanted to sell. Now, I understand there's a lot that's been made of the possible death of the theatrical release. I'm going to use this analogy that Patrick likes to talk about a lot. Comic cons. And how comic cons were taken over essentially by big studios. DC, Marvel, Star Wars, so on and so forth, streaming services. And then when they're not there, yes, it may not get the notoriety it gets, but it's better for the actual community because the people who Comic-Cons were created for, the companies that don't get a shot, can do that. So if we use that analogy for this situation with Netflix and the way, because don't let nobody tell you Netflix don't release movies in theaters. Netflix always releases their major movies in theaters. It's just, like Patrick alluded to, for a shorter run. It may be in there for a month or for 2 weeks, but they release because they want their release date money. If they move to that,
and they want it for awards consideration. So if you want a movie to win an Oscar, it has to be in a theater, for example, which is why you'll see a Netflix like Moonlight. Like Moonlight was literally in like five theaters for a weekend in December so that it qualified. And it's not that Moonlight's a bad movie at all. Like,
oh, for sure. It's fantastic.
It's one best picture. That's how they work their release dates.
That's a great point.
And I don't like that because it is tough for me to then go see it if you don't see it and you don't live in the right spot.
Well, sure, but also it's not tough for you to go see it because you can watch it in streaming where it's supposed to be seen. I know. I'm not taking away the idea of someone wanting to watch it in the theater, but the point I'm trying to make is this might be better for all of moviedom because we just had a whole conversation 30 minutes ago about about A24. And how they have gotten so big that all of the big stars now want to come and do show movies in their little art house RC fartsy studio. A24 don't come up if we don't see a lot of these bigger movie properties and bigger movie theater studios kind of start doing other shit. There will be more A24s that rise up with this.
Yeah. Also, for what it's worth, HBO has control over A24 films just bought by Netflix.
All right. Well, I see my time.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean to point that out.
This is the first step of Netflix being the number one entertainment source. You know, they're already more global than every other streaming thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. It's kind of cool. The other thing to remember, though, is a lot of these things will remain their own entities. Like, I don't think Netflix plans on not having Max be its own thing still. It just makes sense.
I mean, we have a lot of details to work out. We don't know.
They're not right. just going to destroy everything to put everything on Netflix. So, but it's going to be fun and interesting. It's going to give us a lot of, news that's going to be coming forward in the next, 12 to 24 months and all this stuff. So, you know, it's a news rich story, and we thank them for it.
And at the end of the day, one of the other things we're talking about this now, because it's in principle and being negotiated. Like, they're at this point, Warner Brothers Discovery, our good friend David Zaslav, is negotiating exclusively with our friends at Netflix over this acquisition. They could put this deal out. This merger could get announced, and it could be shot down by the FCC as an antitrust. Like, I think it was Dave was talking about that. It's probably going to get challenged in court as part of an antitrust lawsuit. We'll see what happens. I'm not nuanced enough to know what that means. But right now, where we are is that this is the direction it's going. It's all pending an approval from the FCC.
I'm not smart enough to understand if or why or if it could. What I do know is Netflix has definitively announced through all of their proper channels, not just social, but like their corporate channels, that they have absolutely acquired Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But it still has to go through tape.
For sure.
Because by saying that they're by Warner Brothers Discovery coming out and saying we are exclusively negotiating with Netflix, they're saying, yes, we are selling to you, but it's now about the terms. So they just, it's like when you sign with another podcasting network on your own because you're, you know, an in-demand free agent. It's then about hammering out the details. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure somebody.
Sorry,
wants
Tony.
You out there.
It's time to go, my boy. Hey, it's been real. No, I'm playing.
Where are we going?
Oh,
I don't know.
What's a we? Also, Netflix been number one. They just now they're fully moving into
right.
The one thing Netflix has never had was they create their own IP, but they didn't have a legacy IP.
No. Not really.
Now
no.
They own legacy IP.
Right.
So they became number one by a larger margin.
I will say my old man yells at cloud piece of this does go back to the movie theater experience. Because I do find a level of magic in going to a movie theater and seeing films be released theatrically. And There are certain things within the art form that I don't know that you can do yet in the common American home that replicates that experience and the things that certain directors will want to do. Now, that's not to say that we won't get there and may not even be in my lifetime. For accessibility, though, I think it's outstanding. Like for somebody to have access to that content, I think is not a bad thing. But selfishly for me, with that model, like I love seeing movies in the theaters and shorter windows because, you know, maybe it's only out for a weekend and maybe for whatever reason, life gets in the way. That's a little sad for me. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it could happen.
Can I pitch an idea for you? And this will make one penny for Charlington Tunney very happy. All this happens like we're assuming it will. It gets all official. And Netflix cuts a deal with the movie theater gods and movie theater Illuminati, where they release all incoming movies in regular theaters for 2 weeks. But in specialty theaters like 4DX seats, ScreenX seats, and 3D seats for a longer period. That way, if you just want to watch the movie, you can watch it on streaming. But if you want to see it in a special manner, that because you just said to your point, which is true, nowadays with the technology we have at home, with 4DX TVs and all of that, and HDMI, and even the ones that have the big LCD TVs or the projectors or whatever, as good as it is now, there is not a major difference between just watching a regular movie in a theater and watching it at home. The difference is the ambiance. And the ambiance is added to, Tony don't watch a movie unless it's 3D. We know this. The ScreenX with the extra shit on the sides. The 4DX seats where you move and get sprayed with water or air whenever some shit happens. If you let allow that to be a exclusive edition from Netflix, but Netflix still gets the views of the regular watching of a movie, because everybody don't want to see the movies in that way. If you allow that to be streaming, I think we have helped both sides.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. Well, yeah, who knows what they're going to do? We don't actually know what anybody's going to do. So we'll have to wait and see there. Tony, any last thoughts? No, you're good.
Yeah, I think you said it all. I mean, we covered it. There's just so much more to come from this. That's kind of the biggest, coolest thing for us is in this show. So,
yeah, I do think my favorite piece of rampant speculation right now, and I shared it in our rundown, is that it looks like there's a possibility of Universal Studios trying to get DC characters at their parks.
Oh yeah.
Which, you know, right now the Six Flags company is the one that has DC characters in DC Worlds, rides based after DC characters. Universal be a step up, be interesting. And if that happens, do they dump the Marvel property over in Orlando? Because they have the classic Marvel characters currently at Universal Orlando. That'll be a lot of fun. I also, my favorite meme out of all of this has to be Netflix had enough cash to buy Warner Brothers, but cried poor when we shared our passwords with our mom. Right.
Do you have any concerns about how any of the studios might be utilized going forward, i.e. DC and James Gunn?
I don't initially. I think there's enough things in the pipeline and enough things to worth looking at. And I think Superman did well enough.
I'm not just talking about that. We don't know what the structure will look like, because you can have structure all you want, but as all of us are old enough to know and have worked for major corporations long enough to know that a company gets sold, it might not have the same structure as it did before.
Right. I don't think James Gunn, and I'm not worried about DC. I really don't know what's going to happen with the production side of things, right? Like, the corporate side of things might change, but the production side, like, that'll be interesting to see how it shakes down for something like DC, how it will shake down for these HBO, the HBO channels and those groups. But I'm really not, in terms of DC, which is the one we'll talk about the most, obviously, I'm not worried about it. I don't know why I'm not worried about it, but I'm not worried about it. So we'll see what happens. I don't know, Tony. Are you worried about any of it?
No.
No. You're just excited to talk about it, which I think is fair. But you know what? I'm excited to talk about some other things, too, because we are in December, which means we're getting close to turning a page on the year and heading into a new year. And when we enter into New Year's, we like to do new things. Some of it's cyclical. Sometimes it's a new spin on a classic piece of bandwagon nerddom. And so I feel like it's time to start up the hype train for 2026 and talk about what has become a March, April-ish, sometimes late February tradition here on the bandwagon that we are restructuring to bring earlier in the year to all of you. And to share that announcement, I'm going to hand it over to the recently returned to the bandwagon, Reverend Raymond S. Cashington, Esquire, the 9,347,244th, to make this announcement.
Well, good people, all those in all forms of nerddom, everybody listening to my voice, or if you're the feds watching me through my webcam at my house, hello. It is time. This is my favorite time of the year because this is my baby. I work really hard on this, but I enjoy the ability to give you guys, the listeners, and my fellow compatriots on this podcast, something to talk about. I think our madness discussions breed very fun dialogue. I think the last two have been fairly successful. First year being Superhero Madness, the second year being Villain Madness. So I had to think to myself, what can we do to top all of that? There's a lot of things that you could pull from. But thechairshot.com, sports entertainment and sports entertainment, for all that it is, started and primarily serves as a professional wrestling website. So I took from that and I thought of the idea of the most foremost video game or game of our time that made other people from different platforms or studios or and entities fight is Super Smash Brothers. So this year for 2026, your madness is Battle Royal Madness. We will have four separate cat brackets as per usual that are all different. And then the winners will fight in the Madness Battle Royal, or the Madness Fatal Four, whatever you want to call it, for the Battle Royal Madness Championship. Mr. Tunney, give me a... That's okay, never mind. Do a drum roll in your mind, because Tunney ain't got it ready. The first category, the first bracket, thank you, Mr. Tunney. The first bracket for Battle Royal Madness will be in the world of A Winner Is You, the podcast that records once every 2 years, you have the video games bracket. All things video games. Am I saying the number one seeds, or is this for another time?
Another time.
Gotcha.
Just...
Understood. No, all good. Your second bracket is from something we spoke about earlier in this podcast. Something that our own Patrick O'Dowd loves more than anything else except for his son and his wife. You have the Star Wars bracket. Thirdly, a lot of literature out here, comic books that are not DC or Marvel. A lot of superheroes, a lot of villains, a lot of dudes, a lot of ladies. So our third bracket will come from the world of comics, non-DC, non-Marvel. We are calling it the World Comics Bracket. Finally, my favorite bracket of the four. We got a lot of other things we could pull from. We got the horror genre. We have mythology. We have actual literature books. We have movies. Fuck it. Put them all in together. Fourth bracket, the best of the rest. Ladies and gentlemen, starting in 2026, video games, Star Wars, World Comics, best of the rest, Battle Royal Madness Champion come in 2026. Are we given the date that we're starting this on?
Yeah, you can announce that. That's fine.
January 11th, 2026. The second show of 2026. We will get started with the announcements of what we need to announce. But thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to it. And for the record, As one Tunnington and Mr. Ungar will tell you, the graphics this year are next level.
Guess we're gonna have to retweet that stuff, then, huh?
I'm working on making a little sub website.
Oh.
Yeah, we're gonna do this shit right. We're gonna do this shit right.
All right then. Well, there you have it, folks. I gotta say, I look forward to R2-D2 winning the whole damn thing.
In the bracket. He was the first. He was the first left out. He was the first left out.
Sorry, Notre Dame.
Committee bias. That is committee bias against the most powerful character in the Star Wars universe. But okay, You know what? This is already a tainted bracket. Okay. Well done, Ray. Except for your poor choice of he should be the number one overall seed of the entire damn tournament. You got him sitting on the outside. Shameful. Shout you know what? Darnage. Just for that, we're heading out. Hey, Tharnage was a great idea. You all liked it. You all loved it. You're all jealous of it. You wish you'd thought of it. But that's neither here nor there. We got about, you know, an hour and 15 minutes until my NFL destiny gets met. So in order to give ourselves plenty of time to be mentally prepared, it's time for what you're watching as we get ready to head out of here. Ray is very sad because I know what he's currently watching. Ray, what else besides your beloved Baltimore Ravens struggling against the Pittsburgh Steelers have you been watching?
This is going to sound sad, but this whole entire week has been nothing but me, AI, and Google making images and creating the Madness tournament. So yes, but Wednesday, Stu Scott, and I'm not one to really to big up these kind of docs, but there's a lot of talk about this new Sean Combs Diddy doc.
I almost did the trailer for the trailer park. I was close.
And the fact that 50 made it, and say whatever you want about Curtis Jackson to do. There's a lot you could say positive and negative. One thing he does is he takes a lot of pride in what he puts on the screen. So I do not believe he would have made this shit purposely bad, or I think it's an actual good doc. So I'm interested. That may be what I'm going to watch soon.
All right. PC Tony, what you watching, man?
The Matt Rife Christmas special, crowd work special, was really good. It's funny. It's entertaining. Don't let your kids watch it because he talks about how there's no Santa Claus. So, you know, you're just be a parent and figure that out on your own. Because he got shit for it a little bit. The Adam Sandler interview with Dave Letterman on Netflix was excellent as well.
That's right. It did just come out. Yeah.
Another episode of Dinner Time Live was excellent with Brie Larson. This next week, they got their 50th show. And then, of course, like Ray said, Stuart Scott coming out, doc. And then, damn it, what was the last thing I was going to say? Shit. Go ahead, Patrick. Hopefully I'll remember.
Shit's a great show. We all end up watching more shit than we really want to admit. First out of the holiday movie watch list, Patrick O'Dowd watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe from the Chronicles of Narnia. Don't argue with me. Santa Claus is in that movie. The Rankin and Bass, little-known Rankin and Bass stop-motion animated classic, the last one that they ever made, The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, was made in the mid-80s. Oddly enough, it did not save the Rankin and Bass company. Fantasia 2000... because I love watching Fantasia 2000. They both play classical pieces that are often played during the holiday season. John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together, that holiday special would spawn my favorite holiday album of all time by the same title. It was the album that my family would listen to when I was a small child while we would decorate the Christmas tree. In the non-holiday side of things, season 4 of Stranger Things, the first part dropped right around Thanksgiving. The little old dad and I didn't watch it until this week, but we watched all 4 episodes of this first part, and now we are eagerly anticipating Christmas Day when the next part of the final season of Stranger Things hit. It was a lot of fun. It was great. I love that he's still in an age where certain shows make him happy. And there is a moment at the end of that first part of that season where the kid applauded because he was so happy with something that worked out or something that happened in that show. It was really, really cool. So excited for that. Still watching Pluribus on Apple TV Plus. Everybody else should too. Probably, you know, once again, Apple TV, when they do sci-fi, they don't fuck it up. And believe me, they're not fucking it up. And then Spartacus. Been rewatching the Starz show Spartacus on Netflix so that I can then start watching Spartacus House of Asher, which debuted its first 2 episodes this week. They're in my DVR. Tony, did you remember your last show?
John Cena was on Joe Rogan. It was pretty good.
There you go.
John Cena's been everywhere. I did watch the Bill Simmons interview.
Word on the street is that he's retiring from wrestling. I've heard that's coming. Is that true?
Saturday night.
We won't be able to see him anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Very nice. And you know what else is nice? Tight, succinct show today. Before we get out of here, fellas, tell people where they can listen to you on the Chair Shot Radio Network or follow you if you so choose. This week, we will start with Mr. Cashington.
You can find me at attitude underscore ag or whatever. Dave, follow Dave.
At attitude AGG.
Yeah. And Facebook.com slash attitude of aggression. And all of his UAP, UFO, you know me shit is somewhere. You can find it.
PC Tony.
Follow me at PC Tony. Chairshot Radio Network, man. Check it out.
And you can follow me out there on the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and most Wednesdays talking wrestling on Wednesday when we feel like
TheChairShot.com. Always
talking
use
sports.
Your head.
Usually on Tuesday, though, we gave it to you yesterday with the Four Corners podcast. And then, of course, you're listening here on Monday to Bandwagoners with Tony and Ray this week. Dave will be back next week. I'm very excited to have him back, where I'm sure he will have plenty of thoughts about the Netflix Warner Brother merger talk as well. But for us, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. So make sure you get yourself out of the basement, get some sun, and go fight a wizard battle. Be like Yennefer. Kill your mortal enemies, destroy portals, burn books. Don't burn books. That's rude. That's some like Nazi level stuff. Burn evil books that open portals to other worlds that lead to evil things happening. But all the good books, keep those around. You've been listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of
thechairshot.com. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.